At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Look, if Devontae's happy, I'm happy. But yeah, there's a lot of players in this league, and I call it the Kirk Cousins mindset, that try to squeeze out every nickel they can. And they should, by the way. And I see BLG. We can pop him up and ask him.
All right.
Brandon Lee Gouton. There he is. Good to see you, buddy. BLG, yes, hopping on the show.
This is a first official meeting for me with Brandon Lee Gouton. I read a lot of your stuff. I am happy to have you on here. So the genesis of our conversation this morning, Brandon, starts out with a Robert Griffin III tweet that piqued my interest. He says, "The Eagles already have the best roster in the NFL. Now they have two 25 million wide receivers. Are we overlooking this roster with what they did yesterday, the getting Smith back, the way they got Smith, you know, getting the fifth-year extension and how they seemingly do such a great job? But are we overlooking this 53 because of the way they finished the season?"
I think they have one of the better rosters in the league, for sure. I think that's fair to say. But I still think they have, you know, holes, just like any team does. I don't think there is a perfect roster in the NFL, just the way things work with the salary cap and whatnot. They're just not going to have that, and how players fall off unexpectedly. You know, look at James Bradberry kind of last year, and he's still projected to be a starter as it currently stands right now today. So, you know, there are still holes there, but obviously they do have a lot of talent and good young talent like Devontae Smith.
Yeah. Sorry, ahead, yeah, real quick on that, you know, because we were talking about Bradberry. It seems a lot of people think that Bradberry, you know, he had a bad year in New York, then they let him go. After he had a good year in New York, the Eagles picked him up. He had a good year, then he had a bad year. Some people seemingly think he is due for the bounce back.
I am.
Are you on that? Are you on that train?
I kind of am as well. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, with like 100% confidence, but I do have more hope for him, I guess, than I guess most people would. I know he looked kind of cooked, obviously, at the end of last year, and that's kind of just a question of, you know, does he have it in him anymore? Is he able to hold up? But I think it's fair to point out that he's kind of had these bounce back areas of these up and down years in his career. And I also think, you know, the Eagles never needed to rush to cut him, as was suggested. If they want to designate him as a post June 1st cut, they can actually just cut him after June 1st. They can wait to see how he kind of looks in OTAs and everything, get a little bit more of a sample size and more data on him and how he looks in those practices, and then kind of make a decision later if they have to.
Yeah, and with Bradberry, I think that dead cap is like $4.3 million. They lose no cap space post June. It made no sense to cut him before June. Now you could designate it that way if you want to completely move on. But from my perspective, BLG, I don't think the Eagles putting him in the slot was stupid. That was dumb. He's a pure zone corner. I think Vic Fangio will understand that. One of the big things about Vic's defense that I didn't like is it stresses you from a communication standpoint, especially the young corners. Like I've said, I don't want the 22nd pick to start at corner in this defense because they're going to make a whole boatload of mistakes. You're not getting Sauce Gardner at 22. You're not getting Patrick Surtain at 22. Whereas Bradberry's savvy. I think Bick is going to use him correctly. He's going to leave him at right corner. I think he's going to have a bounce. I literally want him to be the starter. I don't want them to take a corner because if they take a corner, they're going to cut him.
I think you're hitting on a good point here, which is Fangio's assessment of Bradberry's worth something to me. Like, you know, if Vic Fangio comes in and says, this guy can't be our corner, we need to move on, then okay, that's another thing kind of working in favor of maybe he can't be the guy. But if he is around still, which he is, and Fangio believes in him to some extent, I'm interested by that. I'm intrigued by that. And, you know, look, I think it shouldn't just be handed to him. I think you have to, you know, see what Kelee Ringo can do. You have to see what Eli Ricks can do. Isaiah Rodgers, you know, other guys should get a chance in there. They should really rotate those reps with the ones or however they want to handle it. You don't just say James Bradberry is the starter no matter what, but he should be in the mix.
You know, wasn't there, I think there was a report back in February from the Inside the Birds guys basically saying there was such a disconnect in the secondary, you know, that somebody wasn't talking to the coordinator. I got to imagine that's Bradberry, right? I mean, who else was so to the point where their play was so drastically from one year to the next a drop-off to say this guy just did not buy in and did not like the way he was being used? Is that fair to, I don't want to say assume, but fair to hope that that was the problem for him?
I don't know. You know, James Bradberry is a pretty mild mannered guy. And I think one of his best.
Yeah. I can't picture him doing that.
He's smart too. He's a smart guy. And that's kind of why I have hope for him still, even if he kind of is breaking down a little bit physically. Obviously there's a threshold there that you have to meet, but if he can get to a certain level, I think the plays he makes with his mind, I think there's value in that. And that's why I think he can potentially, you know, look, and when we talk about bounce back too, I don't think we're realistically expecting him to be as good as he was in 2022 when he led the NFL in terms of lowest passer rating allowed. But I certainly think he can be a much more respectable starting option than he was last year, which he clearly, especially by the end of the season, just was not viable at all.
So the conversation starts with the Eagles have the best roster. John mentioned if they take a guy at 22, what happens? Is there other than right guard, Brandon, is there a spot if they draft a guy at 22 that guy will play and have an impact right away?
I don't think realistically in terms of what, you know, I think they is on the table for them. I don't think that's how, in general, like good teams kind of operate. It's like, hey, we're going to take a guy that's definitely going to be the guy, especially in a stage of where the Eagles are competing. You know, it's one thing if they were like back where they were in 2021 when they drafted Devontae Smith and they just had nothing at wide receiver and you're drafting him and you're playing him right away because you have to. But I think the Eagles think about it as they don't want to have to start that rookie necessarily right away. And obviously, I do think offensive tackle, and if that guy can play right guard, then that is certainly possible that rookie could step in and play from day one, depending on how the competition would go there and if they can actually play right guard or if they're just more of a tackle only. But I tend to think they're thinking more about the future of that draft pick's career than this year alone.
Let's talk about Devontae, because the Eagles get that extension done. BLG, I'm like, this is amazing to me. I sit here and if I'm an agent, and I've been saying this on the show, I'm saying to Devontae, just wait for Jefferson, wait for Chase. Rising tide lifts all boats. I'm not trying to put him in that category. He's not going to make what they make, but they're going to reset the market and everybody else is going to make more because of it. And the Eagles somehow get it done early. And oh, by the way, they get the fifth-year option tagged on,
yep,
and three more years on top of it.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of bad cap hits on any year.
It's kind of unbelievable. Why do other teams not emulate, or simply they can't emulate? What is it? Is there a secret sauce to this? Because I don't want to criticize Devontae's agent. Clearly, he likes it here. Clearly, he wants to play here. $51 million is life-changing money, guaranteed, no matter what. How much do you need? But then you have that, I call it the Kirk Cousins mindset, where you try to get every penny you possibly can. Most players are like that. Is it just a good culture, a good what do you point to when it talks about the Eagles in these contracts?
Yeah, I think there's a number of factors here. I think that, you know, it's worth pointing out that sometimes the players, you know, they want to win too. And, you know, they're not going to just take, they're not going to play for free. But I think they can realize, hey, I can do a deal here where I get good money, but it also doesn't totally hamstring the team and trying to get every single penny out of them. I think there's an element of that. I think there's an element of, obviously, when the Eagles do contracts like this, there's some assumed risk in terms of, you know, you're betting on what the player, you know, can be. And obviously Devontae's already shown a lot, but You know, God forbid there's an injury or whatever. You know, some teams would rather just wait until the last second, like the Cowboys. And I obviously don't think that's the most prudent decision, but there is obviously an upside in that. Again, if there is an injury or whatever, then you didn't commit to them. But ultimately, yeah, I would say that the upside of the deal is certainly worth it for the Eagles. And look, you know, yeah, the new money in terms of the 3-year, $75 million. If you look at that $25 million annual value, which, you know, again, isn't a true number because of the 5th-year option and whatnot. But still, if we just look at that, that's top 4 wide receiver money. So that's very good money to have as it currently stands. Now, obviously, that's going to go down over the course of this offseason, I'm sure, as the Jefferson and whoever else, Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb, whoever else gets these deals. But ultimately, I think it's just a matter of, you know, it's how the Eagles operate, and they're willing to take on some of that risk. And we've seen it work out the other way. We've seen them sign extensions in the past where it hasn't quite exactly been, you know, how they wanted it to go. And they've had to take on, you know, big dead cap numbers. But they'll do that. Jeffrey Lurie is a good owner. He's willing to do that. And so that's the other side of it.
All right. So at 22, they're up. Do they have enough trust and belief in what Jordan Davis is and the long-term Jordan Davis, you know, to say we lost Fletcher Cox, who played a lot of snaps for us? Or do they feel like they might need a replacement for Fletcher because they also need a replacement for Jordan Davis, whose deal I guess they're going to have to think about here pretty soon?
I think they know they need to give Jordan Davis a chance and kind of have to really see what he's made of. And so the distinction there is I don't think they just believe in him without a shadow of a doubt. But I think they know they have to really kind of give him the chance to prove himself and give him that opportunity really to sink or swim and show that he's worth, you know, being the guy and stepping up and, you know, being that first round draft pick that they traded up for. So I definitely think they're going to give him every chance to do that. Now, at the same time, defensive tackle is a position where they very much have liked to heavily rotate at, sometimes as deep as a 6-man rotation in the past few seasons. So, you know, they could always add more talent there.
Mike started out asking you about RG3. From my personal perspective, when he says the Eagles have the best roster, I think that's a quarterback looking at the skill position guys in the offensive line and saying, wow, I'd like to play with that. And I think it's perfectly an honest assessment and acceptable. But I look at it like, yeah, the Eagles are putting a lot on Vic Fangio. They're investing a lot in their offense and saying, hey, Vic, you're great. Let's cobble together something at least acceptable on the defensive side of the ball. Is that what they're doing here, DLG?
I think that's the vision. I think the vision is, now, obviously, if they're an amazing defense, great. They would sign up for that, absolutely. But I think it's more realistically kind of expecting a threshold of like respectability and competency that they certainly didn't have by the end of season last year. So I think they're just kind of hoping for competency on the defensive side of the ball. You know, maybe some variance in there, maybe some turnovers, some takeaways, some big plays that you can generate. Obviously, you know, you bring CJ, GJ back in part for some of that kind of element. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, they're investing all this money and resources into the offense for a reason, and they're expecting that unit to, I think, really.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
They carry the team, and that's what it's going to have to be.
Wasn't, like, we look at the defense and what happened to this defense last year where they just absolutely fell apart. Is that based on personnel? Because we talked about it in the first hour, Brandon. I don't know if you heard Brandon Graham. He was on national radio about a week ago, and he said, when asked, everybody wants the answer. What happened, right? And Brandon said something that I haven't heard from anybody else really say. And Brandon's a pretty, you know, generally positive guy, and everything's great. And, you know,
no, generally said, about that, Mike. Most positive guy I've ever known.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said we had some coaches in the wrong positions. We had basically coaches that didn't belong. And I'm like, if Brandon Graham's saying that, he probably means we had some guys who weren't qualified. So as we talked about in hour one, get your opinion. Is this a team that lacked talent, or were they a poorly – is that right? Were they a poorly coached team and just being a better coach with a different – I don't want to say well, – I guess Fangio's scheme will be his version of different. But will that make that big of an impact to change the complexity of what we saw over the last seven games?
I think it was kind of a perfect storm in terms of not so perfect for the Eagles of, you know, defensive coordinator change on the fly. That's never, to me, a great kind of process to be going through during a season. I also think they had that really tough stretch there where they were playing teams on where the Eagles were on short rest and their opponents, you know, had that rest advantage on them between, you know, you look at the Bills and the Cowboys, 49ers, that kind of stretch there. That was a really tough stretch that I think exacerbated how also they didn't really have enough of a pass rush rotation, at least compared to previous years. You know, Josh Sweat had already played like a career amount of snaps by week 14 or whatever it was. And I think guys were just tired. And that's something I am a little worried about moving forward in terms of the Hassan Reddick trade, not having that depth there at the edge rusher position where they've had that. And that's, I think, been really important for them, the ability to rotate those guys. So that kind of all contributes to it. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was a combination of exhaustion, a combination of the defensive coordinator change, a combination of some players like, you know, James Bradbury going from one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in 2022 to one of the worst cornerbacks in 2023. So it kind of just really everything did not go right.
Yeah, Mike and I used to talk about that a lot. How many guys had career years defensively in 2022? And it's rare that, you know, if you have a career year, it's sometimes you get better, but most of the time for a lot of, especially veteran players, career year means career year. You're probably going to regress to the mean a little bit. But I don't know if I ever talked to you about Sean Desai moving on. Boy, BLG, later we found out that Nick Sirianni was thinking about making the change at the bye week when they were 8-1. What does that tell you? That behind the scenes, what does that tell you? Why are you thinking about making that change at 8-1?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of you could get into there in terms of, you know, were the players kind of calling for this or was there concern in that regard?
It has to be, right? That has to be. There's no other reason.
Well, especially, you know, again, it just, you know, reports whether they're true or not is if you have guys not speaking to the coordinator, I mean, you get to a point where like, I can't play for this guy. We got to do something. Well, we're 8-1. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to show panic now.
The problem with that for me, I think, ultimately, is that, you know, Sean Desai was not like this total dunce that I think the kind of organization.
Smart guy. Yeah.
I mean, even just in the terms of the results, I mean, you look at the Rams game, the Cowboys game, the first one, the Dolphins
Tampa
game.
Tampa.
The
Miami.
Chiefs game. Yeah. So those four I just mentioned there, are the Rams, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Chiefs. Their opponents, the Eagles' opponents in those games combined for just 6 second half points against Sean Desai's defense. Like, that's really good. Those are some really good offenses and some really good quarterbacks. Especially like the Dolphins at that point, they just had scored 70 whatever points on the Broncos, not too far off at that point in the season. So, like, I know I'm not saying Sean Desai was perfect, could do no wrong, but this idea like he was totally a disaster and there was no hope, that's just not true.
Well, that goes back to John. You and I've had this conversation, but Brandon, he mentioned it the year before. I mean, every guy on this team essentially had their best season of their career playing for John Gannon, and people hated John Gannon, couldn't run him out of town fast enough, but he got the best out of multiple guys on that defense. And you go back to the question about coaching and how valuable that is, and that you might not have liked his scheme and some of the play calls in certain times, but he certainly got the best out of 8 guys on that defense. I mean, you figure Edwards and Kaiser White, both of those guys had the best year they ever had. Bradbury had a great year. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson probably had the best year, got himself, you know, well, he didn't get a great deal, but still had the best year he ever had. You had multiple guys with double-digit sacks. They all got that playing in John Gannon's defense, so he got a lot out of them. So I think there is something to be said about the connection you might have with that coach. And if the coach can't connect, and maybe Desai just wasn't good at connecting.
Yeah, I mean, even if you, I do want to say on that point, or even like the Shane Steichen thing, you know, even if that's part of why that conversation is very uninteresting to me last year, is like, you can't keep those guys. You know, if they're going to go get a head coaching job, like that's what it is. Like, there's it's not like, well, the Eagles messed up. They can't control that. They can control, obviously, who they replace them with. That's where the more the focus should be and where the energy should be on, you know, getting the stock line piped and, you know, having those replacement options ready. But like this idea that, you're lamenting something that you couldn't control them leaving. Yeah. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah. At Brandon Gauton, make sure you follow BLG on X/Twitter, whatever you call it. Bleeding Green Nation does a tremendous job there. Editor-in-chief, read them every single day. Draft, I need you to put on how he's going to talk to us today. Give us nothing. I'm going to predict. And once you put your Howie hat on, and at 22, now recent history says they targeted trade up for Devontae, for Jordan Davis, even for Jalen Carter, a one spot up so nobody could trade in. History says they're probably not going to pick a 22, but they're going to be somewhere in that range. Best case scenario for Brandon Lee Gauton for the Eagles in the first round of this draft.
I think it looks something like, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are being taken, including Penix, you know, or Bo Nix. You know, you maybe have like six quarterbacks taken before the Eagles are picking there. I think it reaches a point where you're probably maybe like 18, 19, seven, somewhere around there, like five or so within so picks of the Eagles at 22 there. And I think they're looking to trade up in a draft where, especially, it seems to be the case that there's so much uncertainty. And I think that kind of speaks to the lack of great quality of prospects in this class. I think they kind of are going to have to move up to get a player in that tier that they kind of want, similar to how in 2014, you know, they had that group of six they really wanted before they ultimately all went off the board and the Eagles had to trade down and take Marcus Smith. So I think the Eagles would look for a move up. I think you're looking ideal. I think it could be that, you know, a Quinyon Mitchell or a Terrion Arnold somehow kind of falls in their lap a little bit there with a small move up that they can go and get that kind of player. And then therefore they're not starting necessarily day one, but they could be in that mix for the corner competition. And also, you know, just looking ahead to next year, you know, who knows how much longer Darius Slay is going to be around.
Yeah.
I think that's the most ideal thing in terms of what, you know, could help and would be nice. I think, again, the most realistic thing is they end up taking a tackle.
Absolutely, a
always the most
that can play guard for 2 years, right? And then and then he's so good at guard that they leave him there, and then they need a tackle.
Yep, that could absolutely happen.
It's happened with Landon Dickerson. We know that. As we know, the Eagles one first round, two second round. They traded the third round for Kenny Pickett, so they now have a fourth and what, four fifths.
Three-fifths, right?
Three-fifths?
Yeah, I think it's three-fifths.
I got to double-check.
So a lot of ammunition later on in the draft, so we'll see how that all kind of...
I know they after 53, they're at 120, I think.
Yes,
that's the flip for Pickett, right?
Yep.
They gave them a third and got back the fourth. So
yeah.
And they've got... so they got Pickett, Will Greer.
That's right. You know...
They got four quarterbacks on the
roster. Taking a quarterback. Comfortable in that.
It does seem like that.
Yeah. They're not taking. What do you think of Kenny Pickett, real quick, as a backup? I like it. I why not?
I like
24 starts over his first. He's got a little bit of experience, and they have three fives in one six.
Three fives. Okay.
Yeah.
I like the idea of, you know, you have this cheap backup quarterback in theory for the next 2 years. There's value in that, especially because, you know, backup quarterbacks, obviously, you know,
oh my John, God, they paid Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
And he got a raise.
Right. It's like $6-7 million. Like they make like real money, legitimate money. So to get a guy like Pickett, you know, who's only $1 million or so the next couple of years each season, like there's value in that. I just think he was so bad in Pittsburgh, really, when you look at the numbers, that it's a little tough for me. And I liked Pickett a lot coming into that draft. I thought people were a little low on him, and I had hopes for him in Pittsburgh. I thought he was actually going to make a leap last year, and he didn't pass the eye test whenever I saw the Steelers. So I kind of have a tough time with that. But I do think it's fair to wonder that he could, if he could be better, you know, in the offense and the system that will give him, I think, more chances to succeed than the
Steelers.
Great
skill really position talent, as RG3 will tell you.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so he should be better.
You got to always go by the rule of thumb. You can't trust a guy that went to Pitt. All right. That's go Dub V. All right. Brandon Lee Gauton, Bleeding Green Nation, kind enough to jump in the stream here on Birds 365, about 10 days away from the NFL draft. Finally, we'll find out in less than 2 weeks. Brandon, good to see you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bud.
All right. So just like that, 2 hours. I told you, John, I could do 2 hours in my sleep.
I think, yeah.
And that's talking, it.
Yeah, 2 hours. You're used to, this is like halftime for you usually.
Yeah, so I got 4 hours to do later, so you can check me out from 2 to 6 on the radio. I'll be there Monday through Friday, 97.3 ESPN. I'll be back here on Thursday with you, and we'll be 1 week away from the draft at that point. We'll see what Devontae Smith has to say today. And you said Howie and Nick, that you don't think they'll give us much, but we'll see. Maybe somebody will slip one past the goalie there, and they'll give us a little something for fodder.
I think Howie's too smart for that, but we'll see. You never know. Maybe he wakes up and says, "Yeah, I'm gonna tell you my plans for the first round of the draft." I wouldn't count on that.
That would be great if he just walked up to the mic today and just said, "With the 22nd pick, I am taking," just like said somebody's name, and then got everybody just in a stir for the next, you know, 10 days of like he just said he's taking Troy Fontenot, you know?
Yeah. Howie's too savvy for that. Yeah, we got to get to one more break, and then we'll come back and say goodbye, Mike Gill.
All right.
At Mike Gill's show, make sure you follow Mike as well. We'll be back to put a period on the show.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.